Welcome to the Classical American Education Podcast with the Copelands.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have been enjoying this podcast, please take a moment to give us a five-star rating and leave a positive review. We would greatly appreciate it. Today, on the Classical American Education Podcast, we would like to further acquaint you with the books that we have referenced in Season 1. Our hope is to inspire you to further explore some of these topics on your own. Of course, you may always reach out to us with further questions by email, classicalamericaned@powg.org. Without further ado, Missy, what book will we discuss first today?
Let's begin with The Crimes of the Educators by Samuel Blumenfeld and Alex Newman. Published in 2014, this book contains 321 pages. And as you can tell from the title, the co-authors don't pull any punches in their assessment of our educational system. Listen to this stinging criticism. Quote, growing levels of illiteracy, plunging international rankings, the decline of critical thinking skills, mushrooming decadence, mass shootings, and companies that can't find the skilled workers they need. Those have become some of the atrocious hallmarks of the U.S. public schools. Before Chapter 1 even begins, they present a compelling argument in the introduction that, quote, the unhappy truth is that today's public schools have rejected the values of the founding fathers and adopted the values of the 19th century European social utopian society, end quote. And then further explain that, quote, in the U.S., the socialist utopians adopted a new and unique method of conquering a nation by dumbing down its people, by destroying the brain power of millions of its citizens, end quote.
They specifically identify six crimes that modern-day educators are perpetuating against American children: treason, child abuse, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, destroying a child's belief in biblical religion, pushing psychiatric drugs, and extortion.
While we know that those are harsh accusations, if you are an educator listening today, don't become offended, because Blumenfeld and Newman are not directly accusing you. In fact, they claim that, quote, most teachers are unaware that they are complicit in this evil conspiracy, end quote.
If that seems strange to you, then consider one example provided by the authors to show how educators can be unknowingly involved. It is called multicultural education.
That is a phrase that may sound good to most people, but in the world of education, that means much more than simply appreciating the people of different cultures. Blumenfeld and Newman explain, quote, multicultural education embraces much more than mere cultural pluralism or ethnic diversity. It legitimizes different lifestyles and value systems, thereby legitimizing moral diversity, end quote.
And we understand that the moral diversity they are pushing typically excludes only one worldview.
And that is the worldview we advocate here. The worldview of the classical American educational philosophy, where the Bible served as the basic textbook for all subjects.
The authors of Crimes of the Educators continue by calling multicultural education, quote, a stepping stone to globalism. That concept of a future world government that the public schools are promoting as aggressively as ever. And then they declare that the ultimate purpose of multicultural globalist education is to prepare young Americans to accept as inevitable and desirable a world socialist government in which American national sovereignty will be sacrificed for the greater good. Finally, they describe the end game this way, quote, uneducated masses would be trained like Pavlov's dogs from a young age to fulfill their roles in what the establishment leaders regularly refer to as the New World Order.
And that description goes hand in hand with what they say about reformers such as John Dewey. Quote, when the progressives took over American education at the beginning of the 1900s, Their goal was to use schools as the means of changing America from a capitalist, individualistic, believing nation into a socialistic, collectivist, atheist, or humanist nation. However, I have news for those who desire that to happen. The Bible tells us that such a design is doomed to failure.
That is absolutely correct. The Bible informs us that the role America is to play in the end time is to resist the socialistic one-world governmental system and serve as a protector for the nation of Israel during the reign of the Antichrist. And this book, while certainly not an analysis of prophecy, provides some very useful suggestions for how we can help America fulfill that destiny.
Blumenfeld Newman explained that, quote, "To improve the mental health of American children, the easiest and fastest way to do it is to convert our atheistic schools into godly schools, where the Bible is revered as America's spiritual foundation, as basic to the American creed as the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution," end quote.
They also claim, quote, "The family, humanity's oldest social institution, is still in charge of bringing up its children. The idea that the government should take over the family's God-given rights and responsibilities is so foreign to the American way of life that one wonders what kind of American would even entertain such ideas," end quote. In addition to all that, Crimes of the Educators also provides the most complete discussion of John Dewey and the damaging effects of the whole word method of teaching reading that I have ever seen. They also discuss the damaging effects of modern methods of teaching math, the role evolution had in the eugenics movement, the obsession with death in public school curriculum, and how that is related to the suicide epidemic. Add in a discussion of the massive efforts of data collection, the role that Bill Gates played in the creation of Common Core, and some very disturbing details about the sexualization of children and our public school system, and you have, as a whole, a very airtight case against the modern American public school. In my opinion, it is an excellent place for anyone wanting to conduct serious research to start.
Absolutely. One of our listeners has already downloaded the audiobook version and listened to it and had great things to say. So the next book that we will discuss is Speechless by the well-known political commentator Michael Knowles. It was published in 2021 and has 249 pages and includes a very entertaining and informative glossary of jargon located in the appendix that helps to clarify, with examples, some of the more, shall we say, unusual terms used by the modern woke popular culture.
The purpose of this book is to trace the history of political correctness in America. Far from being an attempt to improve the quality of conversation in American public life, Knowles characterizes the political correctness movement as an attempt to transform the traditional American society into a socialistic state. He provides the following insightful definition of political correctness. Quote, "An insidious and influential political strategy developed by sophisticated thinkers and propagated over the course of a century by revolutionaries seeking to subvert our culture, as well as by dupes who know not what they do." Knowles refuses to submit himself to the edicts of the political correctness movement and provides a wealth of historical analysis to prove his contention that the true source of this movement to be the proponents of Marxism. He documents the influence of Antonio Gramsci, explains the Marxist strategy of a slow march through the institutions, and identifies the significance of the Frankfurt School, which was originally called the Institute for Marxism. Listen to his explanation. The Frankfurt School, quote, "developed the social philosophy of critical theory, which over the past century has come to dominate not just college campuses, but primary and secondary education as well." He accurately frames critical theory as a result of the call by Karl Marx for the, quote, "ruthless criticism of all that exist." The conclusion that Knowles effectively argues for us to accept is that political correctness simply sets a trap, what he calls, quote, a false dichotomy between accepting radical new standards or abandoning standards altogether. We are falling into their trap when we say that we are such advocates of free speech that absolutely anything should be acceptable in our society. That is not what the founders argued, and neither should we. The answer is not to argue for no standard of speech, but rather to argue for the proper standard. Reasonable restrictions that uphold the traditional value structures of our society that Marxist revolutionaries hate so much.
From what you have shared with us, it may seem to our listeners that this book is strictly a historical analysis of political correctness, but the author is a well-known political commentator on the issues of today. Is there any relevance to the current condition of our society?
Certainly. Anyone not already well-versed on this topic may be surprised to discover the extent to which Knowles is able to connect political correctness to the larger picture of the problems in modern-day America. Virtually no one who is involved in damaging the traditional American culture escapes his attack, whether that be Al Gore and the climate crisis crowd, Howard Zinn and other false historians pushing a Marxist revision of American history, Nicole Hannah Jones, the author of the now discredited 1619 Project, Patrice Cullors, the founder of Black Lives Matter, who has admitted to being a trained Marxist, along with Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Woodrow Wilson, Charles Darwin, Herbert Marcuse, even Benito Mussolini is tied to what is currently happening in our culture.
So is there a connection between political correctness and virtue signaling?
Certainly. Most people have heard of virtue signaling, the idea that you might not actually do anything that's good, but you just make sure everyone thinks that you're a so-called good person according to the edicts of what we might call wokeism. Michael Knowles says that under political correctness, quote, saying the right thing supplants doing the right thing. And that's exactly what virtue signaling is. Knowles goes on to say that political correctness, quote, transforms words and phrases to make them mean their opposite. This is certainly a wonderful example of what the Bible refers to as a time when people would call good evil and evil good. It's the ultimate realization of Herbert Marcuse's vision of repressive tolerance, the idea that you accept absolutely everything is acceptable except for those things that uphold traditional values. They're the only thing that should not be allowed in society because they are not tolerant. It can be enough to make you angry, especially when you consider that Knowles points out that the term itself, political correctness, in his words is, quote, a variation of an earlier communist slogan. This is all a plan, and it comes from the pit of hell, and we as Americans should resist.
Amen. Because the real solution is biblical correctness, not political correctness.
That is absolutely right. I don't care about being politically correct,
right,
as long as I am biblically correct.
Amen.
Finally, we will invest some time today discussing the book Cynical Theories by Helen Pluckrose and James Lindsay. We featured several quotes from this work in Episode 5 as we analyzed the source of many of the radical agendas pushed currently in the American public school classroom. Unlike the previous work we discussed by Michael Knowles, who sought to make the topic of political correctness completely understandable, this book includes a more scholarly approach to the subject of critical theory. A thorough analysis is provided for the development of postmodernism, which the authors properly refer to as, quote, a radically new conception of the world that has drastically altered not only what and how we think, but also how we think about thinking. They explain that postmodernism, quote, radically rejects the foundations upon which today's advanced civilizations are built and consequently has the potential to undermine them, end quote. After clearly documenting the postmodern argument against the existence of absolute truth, they make the obvious connection to the ideas that are influencing our culture today. Post-colonial theory, critical law theory, and queer theory, just to name a few. They even discuss some ideas that it is very likely most Americans have never heard of, and therefore do not understand the influence that they have upon the information that our society accepts as valid. This book will certainly allow you to understand the illogical and dishonest claims behind all the versions of critical theory that have taken the elites of our culture by storm. And it will help you to understand the very dark intentions of those who originally promoted such ideas.
Well, how do these ideas in this book compare to the analysis of Knowles?
They reach the same conclusion. This is certainly a more detailed and scholarly approach with less of an appeal to the popular culture and current political issues. It's important to note that the authors do not represent the same religious views or the same overall value system that most of our listeners probably embrace. But nonetheless, their insight into the academic history of the ideas that are destroying the American culture, at least they're intended to destroy the American culture, is very insightful.
Most people have only heard of critical race theory, but you seem to imply that there are other versions of critical theory.
Absolutely. That is the most essential fact that is presented in this book. It is a common trick of those that want to destroy America to simply use wordplay or change the definitions or the words they use to identify their ideas. And you likely have heard many prominent people say, all critical race theory is the proper teaching of history. And we don't teach critical race theory in any way. And yet they just give it a different name and continue with the same ideas. Critical race theory is certainly important, but it is only the tip of the iceberg. Remember what Karl Marx said. He called for the intense criticism of all that exists, and there is an element of critical theory in virtually every subject and every movement associated with what people call being woke.
Now, James Lindsay is a name that many of our listeners may know. What else has he written or done?
Well, he certainly is very popular as far as a person to be interviewed on other podcasts. He's written a book called Race Marxism. He's recently written a book called The Marxification of American Education. He has a website. He has his own podcast. He's certainly one of the most prominent and well-known people who is pushing back against critical theory, and this book is an excellent introduction.
Well, I know these books have been very informative to the Classical American Education podcast, and we hope that these book reviews have inspired you to do your own research. Again, we will place the links to the books we reviewed today in the show notes. We would appreciate you sharing this podcast, giving us a 5-star rating, and leaving a positive review. Reach out to us at classicalamericaned@powg.org. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we will be discussing how parents, pastors, and Christian educators can navigate the world of curriculum. You will not want to miss it, so be sure to subscribe so you will be notified. Until next time, stay positive, informed, and hopeful that America will return to her biblical roots. May God bless you as you serve Him in Jesus' name.